welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with The Prophecy of Elijah as we pick up in 2 Chronicles, chapter 21, verse 12. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
And so there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet. You remember when Elijah was running from Jezebel. The Lord spoke to him down there in the cave at Mount Horeb. And he said to him, get up to Syria and anoint Hazael to be the king over Syria. And so Elijah went up and he met Hazael and he began to stare at him until it was embarrassing. And then he began to weep. And Hazael said, what's wrong? And he said, I'm weeping over the horrible things you're going to do. For you're going to murder your master. And then you're going to shed the blood of the children of Israel, the babies you're going to slaughter. And Elijah was predicting the future evil reign of Hazael before he was ever king. And Hazael himself seemed to be shocked. He said, am I a dog that I would do these things? And yet he did those things. He murdered Ben-Hadad. And then, of course, he conquered over Israel and destroyed the women and the children. Elijah could see it prophetically by the Spirit. And so it is not at all unthinkable that even before Jehoram entered in or did these things, that by the Spirit Elijah knew, even as he did with Hazael and even as he did with Ahab, he predicted his death. And he predicted the death of Jezebel, where the dogs licked the blood of Ahab, so shall they lick the blood of Jezebel. And he had predicted their tragic end because of their sin. And so here with Jehoram, and probably while he was still co-regent with his father, Elijah wrote this prophecy, this message that was delivered to him that said, thus saith Jehovah God, the God of David your father, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat your father, nor in the ways of your grandfather, Asa, the king of Judah. But you've walked in the way of the kings of Israel, and you've made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a whoring, that is, after these other gods, like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab. You've introduced this whole vile, moral morass. And also you have slain your brethren of your father's house, which were better than yourself. And this could all be prophecy, declaring that he was going to slay his brothers who were better than himself. And that's probably why he killed them, because he knew that they would be outraged by the things that he was going to do. He had in mind to do. Behold, the Lord says, with a great plague will Jehovah smite your people and your children and your wives and your goods. You're going to get wiped out, your children, your wives, your possessions. And you yourself shall have a great sickness. Your bowels will become diseased until your bowels will fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. You're going to die a horrible, ugly death. Now we read, moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines. Not only did Edom rebel and Libnah, but now the Philistines began to fight him, and the Arabians who were near the Ethiopians. And they came up into Judah, they broke into it, and they carried away the substance that was found in the king's house. They also carried away his sons and killed them, also his wives, so that there was not a son left unto him except for Jehoahaz, who was the youngest of his sons. The rest of his sons were all carried away and killed by the enemy. And after all of this, the Lord smote him in his bowels. The prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled, or Elijah rather, with an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in the process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness. So he died of sore diseases, and his people made no burning for him like the burning of his fathers. The people made no burning for him. Now, usually when the king would die, they would light bonfires and they would gather around and mourn and weep and lament over the loss of the king. Not for this fellow. He had 8 years of horrible reign in which the nation went from a position of power, wealth, and strength to a position of weakness, conquered by their enemies and filled with false gods. He was 32 years old when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem for only 8 years, and he departed without being desired. No one cared. Howbeit, they did bury him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchers of the kings. The inhabitants of Jerusalem then made his son Jehoahaz, who is here called Ahaziah, and so he's known by actually three different names. Again, he'll be called Azariah, Ahaziah, and Jehoahaz. The youngest son, the only son that he had left, the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, the king in his stead. For the band of men that came with the Arabians to the camp had slain all of the eldest. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, the king of Judah, reigned. The 42 is a copyist error somewhere along the line. In Kings, it says he was 22 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Athaliah. That was the daughter of Jezebel and Ahab, who had married Jehoram, the wicked queen mother who still had a horrible influence in Judah. And so he walked in the ways of Ahab, for his mother was his influence, his counselor, to do wickedly. Ma Barker, you know, just leading her son in the path of wickedness. You know, there's probably nothing more glorious and powerful than the influence of a godly mother. But even as a mother can be an influence for good, a mother also can be a horrible influence for evil. And some of the worst tyrants in the world have been created by the ungodly influence of their mothers. Athaliah was one of those, an ungodly influence upon her son. And wherefore he did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for there they were his counselors after the death of his father to his destruction. So his mother was his counselor, and also the other counselors that he had were leading him in the wrong path. He walked also after their counsel, and he went with Jehoram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, this other one we already talked about, the king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead, and the Syrians smote Joram, who was the king of Israel, the northern kingdom. And he returned, Joram returned to be healed in Jezreel of the wounds that he had received in the battle against the Syrians. And Azariah, this is the third name given to Ahaziah, The son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, at Jezreel because he was sick. Now, Joram was actually his uncle. He was the brother of Athaliah, who was the mother of King Ahaziah. So he was going up to visit his uncle. Again, following the pattern of his grandfather, in that curiosity and desire to be involved in the wickedness of the northern kingdom, he was going up to visit his uncle. And the destruction of Ahaziah was of God by coming to Joram. This visit to his uncle was going to cost him his life. For when he was come, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi. Now, God had promised that he was going to cut off Ahab, the dynasty, the seed of Ahab, from ruling in Israel. And so the son of Ahab had gone to war against Syria at Ramoth-Gilead, where Ahab, incidentally, was killed in battle. The very same city trying to take it from Syria, Ahab was killed. Now his son Joram goes against the city and is wounded, severely wounded. He is recuperating in Jezreel. But the Lord came to Jehu and told Jehu that he was to be the king. The prophet came to Jehu and said, God has appointed you to be the king to wipe out Ahab and the ungodly seed of Ahab from the land. And so Jehu was coming with his men, a band of men, to kill Joram. And it so happened that by Ahaziah being there during this bloody purge, he also was caught by Jehu and killed by Jehu. So it came to pass when Jehu was executing God's judgment, actually, upon the house of Ahab, that he found the princes of Judah that had come with Ahaziah, and the sons and the brothers of Ahaziah that ministered to him, and he slew them. And then he sought for Ahaziah, and they caught him, for he was hiding in Samaria. And they brought him to Jehu, and when they had slain him, they buried him, because they said, he is the son of Jehoshaphat who sought the Lord. That is, at least they honored him by burial. They just didn't leave the body out for the dogs and the birds to eat. But they buried him, did him that honor because of his grandfather Jehoshaphat, not because of him. Because Jehoshaphat had sought the Lord with all of his heart, so the house of Ahaziah had no power to keep still the kingdom. Ahaziah only reigned, 22 when he began his reign, reigned only for 1 year. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all of the royal seed of the house of Judah. She caught hold of all of the descendants of David to kill them. But Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's son. Now, this wicked woman went around and killed all of her grandchildren, all of her grandsons, but she didn't find this one little guy. He was a baby. His aunt took him and gave him to a nurse to keep him. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, she had married into the family of the priesthood, for she was the sister of Ahaziah. She hid him from Athaliah so that she did not slay him. And he was with them hid there in the house of God, in the temple. They hid this little baby for 6 years. And Athaliah was reigning over the land. A year old when he was spirited away by his aunt and hid that he was not slain by his evil grandmother. So in the seventh year, and of course this Athaliah, the daughter of Jezebel, assumed the position of queen and reigning over the land. She reigned over the land for this 6 years period. And in the seventh year, Jehoiada the priest strengthened himself. He took the captains of the hundreds. He got together the military. And he called them to come into a covenant with him. He said, look, we have a descendant of David. God's promised the throne to David. This wicked woman, you know, she belongs to the north. And God's promised it to David, you know. And so he caused them to make a covenant. He revealed, look, I've got this little boy here. He is 7 years old, but he's the rightful heir to the throne. So they went about in Judah, and they gathered together all of the Levites. This was a conspiracy. It was a surreptitious kind of a thing. And they gathered all of the Levites from out of the cities of Judah, the chief of the fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God, this little seven-year-old boy. And he said unto them, behold, here is the king's son, and he shall reign, as Jehovah hath said, of the sons of David. Here is the rightful heir. And this is the thing that you shall do. A third part of you entering in on the Sabbath of the priests and of the Levites shall be the porters of the doors. You'll be the guards at the door, a third of you. A third part of you shall be over here at the king's house, and a third part at the gate of the foundation, and all of the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. But don't let anyone come into the house of the Lord except the priest and they that minister of the Levites. They shall go in, for they are holy, but the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. And so the Levites shall encircle the king. They'll get a circle around him, every man with his weapons in his hand. And whoever else comes into the house shall be put to death. But you, with the king, when he comes in and when he goes out, you will be there, you'll surround him, you'll protect him. The whole thing was set up. So the Levites and all of Judah did according to the things that Jehoiada the priest had commanded. They took every man his men that were under him that had come on the Sabbath day that were to go out on the Sabbath, for Jehoiada the priest dismissed not the courses. They kept them all there. Rather than dismissing them to go home, they kept them there. Moreover, Jehoiada the priest delivered to the captains of the hundreds the spears and the bucklers and the shields that had been stored there in the temple that were used by King David that were there in the house of God. And he set all of the people, every man having his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along the altar and the temple by the king round about. In other words, they just surrounded the place, both sides. And here was this little seven-year-old boy standing in the place that the king stood in the temple. There was a special place of honor for the king to stand within the temple. He is surrounded by these guards, by these men, armed with the armor that came from the days of David. And having set the whole thing up, then they brought this little seven-year-old boy out. They brought out the king's son, put upon him the crown, and they gave him the covenant, and they made him the king. And Jehoiada and the sons anointed him, and they began to cry, God save the king. And this whole cry was taken up then by the people. Quite a tumultuous crowd crying, God save the king. Now, when Athaliah, this wicked queen mother, heard the noise of the people running about and praising the king, she came to the people into the house of the Lord, and she looked, and behold, the king was standing at his pillar at the entering in, and the princes and the trumpets by the king, and all of the people of the land were rejoicing and were sounding with the trumpets, and also the singers and the instruments of music, and those that were taught to sing the praises. Then Athaliah tore her clothes and cried, treason, treason. So Jehoiada the priest brought out the captain of the hundreds that were set over the host, and he said to them, take her out of the range of the temple. Get her out of the range of this place. And whoever follows her to support her, put him to death. And let her be slain with a sword. For the priest said, don't slay her here within the temple. Take her out of the range of the temple. Anybody tries to support her, kill him. And slay her with a sword outside.
Return with more of our study through the book of 2 Chronicles in our next lesson, as we continue with the reign of Joash. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Chronicles. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
I pray that God will bless you this week in a very special way, that your life will be guided by the Holy Spirit, that you'll have that sense of God's nearness and of God's presence, and especially of God's love. May He keep your heart pure and holy towards Him. And thus, may you grow in your love and in your commitment to the things of God. In Jesus' name.
I just got the Word for Today Bible, and I'm really enjoying the commentaries by Pastor Chuck. Listen to this one from the book of Joshua.
You see, God has already gone before me. God is already there tomorrow. Joshua is telling them, tomorrow, God is going to do wonders in your eyes. And that's the thing that I need to hold in my mind.
Yeah, that's really good. I have one too from the book of Nehemiah.
So they read in the book of the law of God distinctly, and then they gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That's what expository teaching is all about. That's what we have devoted our ministry to, the study of God's Word.
The Word for Today Bible is available in leather and paperback editions with more commentaries by Pastor Chuck, simply teaching the Word of God. For more information, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-WORD. You can read a preview of The Word for Today Bible by visiting thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.